Welcome to the Smart Thinking Podcast with my dad, Ted Knightsky.
Welcome to the Smart Thinking Podcast. I'm your host, Ted Knightsky. In a previous episode, I made a comment that led to today's topic. I said that I felt like I had been present in my children's life 9 out of 10 times, and that got me a few notes from some listeners who asked me, how'd you do that? And it got me thinking about it. I guess I just tried to always be in every moment, but let's talk about it. So leaders, by nature, move from one moment into the next, and I believe that there are two overarching behaviors that drive great leaders. They are empathetic, and they are reflective. What this means is that they go through their days looking at how to best serve others by wondering what the person in front of them needs in order to be the best version of themselves. Empathetic leaders do not wallow in pity for others. They step into situations and ask other people what it is they need in order to be successful and what the leader themselves can do to help them overcome the obstacles they face. The second behavior is being reflective. Asking yourself, what has gone well? What can I change the next time I experience this? Or how do I improve upon myself to better serve those around me? I want to really hone in on this point. Too often we get hyper-remorseful versus reflective. And what I mean by this is we beat ourselves up over decisions we've made. We look at what happened and we try to cast blame and we do everything we can to think about things too much. Seriously, I recognize that it is our nature to worry about things coming, but worrying about things that have already happened, really, it just wastes time, energy, and creates a complete lack of an ability to be in the moment, let alone move forward. Here's what I want to explore this week. With all of the crisis that we are facing as we continue to navigate the temporary and unpredictable waters of this pandemic, we actually have the opportunity to get better for ourselves and others by simply paying attention to the moment. My sister-in-law, Jen, and I have these coaching exchange discussions once in a while, and a few months ago, she shot me a note, and the gist of it was that as we move onward in life, there are things that we cannot remember about our lives and our experiences, and the reason that occurs is because we're not truly present in that moment. Well, that struck me like lightning, because I'm always surprised when others can't recall what I would consider important life events. Plus, I have a very vivid memory and memories of life events, really for two reasons. The first is that I've lived through some traumatic moments in my life, and many of them occurred in my formative years. Trauma causes pretty significant memory imprints because you are in a heightened state of personal survival, and you are truly operating in a mode that you are keenly aware of what is going on in your immediate surroundings. You can recall what things smelled like, tasted like, sounded like, felt like. It's very, very intense. For me, as a result of these life experiences and a true belief that I feel lucky to have emerged from those experiences a better person, I tend to stop a lot and look around. I do feel incredibly fortunate just to be here, and I'm grateful for all things I have and pretty much all people around me. My question for you is, are you? Bad things and good things happen. But do you stop and ask yourself, what did I learn from this? How will I grow? How lucky am I to be here? Do you rise to the situation or fall to self-deprecating behavior? Do you worry more about others than yourself? Or do you stop to look around just once in a while to see how good you actually have it? Life is a gift, and so are these struggles we are facing because we get to face them. Think about it. Face masks, plexiglass, hand sanitizer made from distilled vodka. I mean, come on, people. This is a moment. I've been very fortunate to have been blessed to lead systems in my lifetime, whether that was a team I was coaching, a classroom, a school, a district, a nonprofit, a business. I used to fail the people around me by not being present. I used to sit in meetings, my classroom, and go through the motions physically. But mentally, I was somewhere else. I was worrying about something else, and I was not there. I liken it to when you are reading. You know, have you ever been reading a book, but you're thinking about other things, but your eyes keep moving over the words and you keep thinking about other things, but then you realize, oh my gosh, I don't think I read a thing here. It's because you are disengaged from that moment and you're not paying attention. You can't comprehend what you're reading and you are unable to remember what just happened. Ah, that's called mindfulness of the moment. Life is like reading a book, and leaders need to stop others before they've gone through the motions and forgotten how important they are. After all, a leader is someone who has influence over others, and if they're not there for them, well, you're not a leader, you're a leaker. Now, before I share with you a few strategies to build greater mindfulness for you and those you serve, I want to share a couple stories and strategies that I've employed that have helped me be Buffalo daily and allowed me to feel more present in my own life and there for others, more than ever before. Here are two behaviors that I have that I would encourage you to try. I love when I hear that people are getting married. I just think it's so exciting for them. I mean, what a day and a tradition. However, anyone who's actually been through the process of getting married, planning and organizing, and preparing for the big day, will recognize that the ceremony is actually more of a celebration that we live to get to that day, and that it'll be over soon. It's stressful. There's conflict. There are other people's emotions to consider. And too often people enter the day just wanting it to be over. It's kind of sad. Now, I was married in August of 1997, a long time ago, and I remember a few things about the day. It was an incredibly fast day. My wife was beautiful, our ceremony was fun, and our priest said that God brought Ted and Megan together so Ted could take Megan to new heights and she could help keep him grounded. Which, by the way, is the strength of our partnership. I remember my knees hurting when I was forced to crawl across the dance floor to get a garter, and I remember being really tired at the end of the day. I also remember the photographer telling us to say party naked when he was taking our picture, and our 4-year-old ring bearer, Nathan Rigo, yelled out, "Party Nathan," instead. But sadly, that's really all I can remember about my day. I'll tell you some more things I don't remember. I don't remember who was there, if others were happy, if I was happy in between everything, what kind of food was there, what songs were played, what the speeches were about, why I didn't know what was going on now, or why can't I remember? I didn't know then to be present. However, there is one very warm feeling I get every time I see a horse-drawn carriage. That is because that is the one thing on our wedding day where time actually slowed down for about 15 or 20 minutes, and my wife and I were able to reflect. We have a family friend with horses, and she had a carriage, and her gift for us was to take us from the church to a park for photos. The slow carriage being pulled by Radar the horse and tendered by Pat was the only time that Megan and I were together by ourselves on our wedding day. We reflected on how grateful we were, how happy we were, how fun the ride was, how much fun the ceremony was, how much we were looking forward to the upcoming party in the afternoon and evening. Time just seemed to slow down because we made it slow down, because we were in the moment. In an incredibly hectic 24 hours, we had just 20 minutes to be in the moment. I find many days of my life to be like that. But now when I hear two people that I know are getting married, I pull them aside and I tell them, hey, I don't care what everyone else wants from you or with you on your wedding day. You make certain that right after you take your vows and you leave the church, synagogue, temple, wherever you are, courthouse, that you take 20 to 30 minutes to just be together, to celebrate, to stop and think about what just happened, to be in the moment. It's the only thing you may remember from that day. And what is more important than taking a moment to truly relish the joy you feel in the commitment you just made to another person? Now, next time you have an incredibly important day, schedule in a time to take a few minutes to step away and to step into the moment. It will likely be the only vivid memory you have of the day, which is how you stay in the moments for others. Here's the second story or strategy. I love hiking and exploring, and many times I see a trail map, the distance and the rating of the trail, and I set to it. I load up my pack, pick up the people who are going with me, and we go. Many times you see the targets you set and you get tunnel vision. I'm going to go 4 miles on a loop trail, and you look for the markers and the milestones and you hike. Like life, when you're out hiking, you are going from one point to another. But when the hike is over, you feel good because you were outside, you were moving, your heart was pumping. And you feel a sense of accomplishment, but then you move on. Wait. Will this experience be memorable? All the things you saw, the beautiful brook you crossed over, the unique rock formations, the gentle breeze making the leaves sound like a sea. No, because you'll get in the car and you'll move on. But are you more concerned with other things when you're on the hike, like capturing a selfie for Instagram that makes it memorialized digitally, but not in your mind, in your spirit, in your soul, and in your brain? The best hikes are when someone is curious. Now, I have a minor in physical geography, so I can read maps and explain terrain. I walk through the forest aware of the ground beneath me, but not to build memories, instead to test my own. But I did learn something once when my children were born. They are curious, and they question what we take for granted. Anyone who has ever taken a four-year-old anywhere knows what I'm talking about. They pick up every flippin' thing they see. They're curious about stuff we didn't even know existed. They see things in the ground that you can't see with a microscope, and they question all types of things that we've been looking at our entire lives. So, I have learned over the course of my fathering that we need to stop often and look around. Now, if you go for a hike with me, and we are talking intently, I'll just randomly stop you, interrupt you, and say, look left, look right, look up. I will make you stop and look around at the magnificent world in which we are guests. Why? Because this moment, that moment matters in life. Too many people go through life and forget their journey, can't remember anything, and are not growing wiser. Instead, they're sad that they feel they've gone this far and nothing of any significance has happened. That often turns them into believing they're not significant, which leads them to disengagement and sadness in life, in the workplace, everywhere. They are supposed to be serving others at a high level and instead are stuck. Stuck in a moment they can't get past because they can't remember any moments from the past and they're still begging for a better way forward. But they're trapped. As leaders, it's our job to create the conditions so that people are mindful of the moment and recognize their importance in the greater mission, the bigger picture, and walk away recognizing that not everything that has happened is bad. So how do we empower the leaders around us to move and be more willing to buffalo into the storm? We make them aware, every chance we get, of what is occurring, how they are making a difference, and we fuel them by helping them be in the moment so that they are present in the future. The idea that we live the days of our lives the same way we gloss over pages of a book is pretty blah to me. I mean, have I done it? Yes. I can't tell you how many times I've done it. I've had a stressful day. I've had to make hard decisions. I've done things that have impacted people's lives, and I come home and I stare at the ceiling, and the next day I go to work and I just stare forward like a zombie. Heck, I've been in many Zooms and Google Hangout meetings the last few weeks where I'm staring into the camera doing my best not to project to others that I'd rather be getting my tooth pulled. But I try to rally by thinking about how I need to be there and what I can do about my own circumstances. Let's look at three ways we can increase engagement to help people be in the moment and build capacity for others. Here they are. Use of symbols. Give permission. Pause by design. Somewhere along the journey of fatherhood, I instilled into my children the importance of symbols. Mindfulness and recall are significantly impacted when you have something that you can touch and feel from your journey, that you picked up to help recall the moments of the day or the challenge. If you look around, they're everywhere. Grace and Charlie go for walks in different places and will today, like when they were little, pick up a rock, a stick, an acorn, ask if they can get a t-shirt or a trinket, and I always oblige. Why? Each time someone asks them about the object they have in their room or in the house, on a bookshelf, or in a box, they have a story. They recall the joy or misery of the moments from that symbol. As a leader, it is important to provide or create symbols in your organization. Stickers, trinkets, t-shirts, acorns, jars of sand, pens, erasers, post-its, whatever. We ask people to launch new initiatives. We ask people to do all kinds of things, yet we fail to memorialize the moment we started, the moment we struggled, and the moment we finished. When you do that for people, when you give them a symbol, when you give them an object, they have it. It's physical. The object represents the things that they had done, the moments, the struggles, the successes. It serves as a reminder, and it helps create a cultural reminder of purpose. So that is symbols. I realize some of you are like, I don't have time for that. But if you want people engaged in missions, provide them the tools to recall. I mean, I wear this wedding ring all of the time, and you know what I think about every time I look at it? Megan. Now, I do not recommend you go around giving people rings, though. It would be a little weird and kind of creepy, and there's no need to spend any extra time in HR. The second thing that is important as a leader is to build people's willingness to be in the moment, and that means you have to give them permission. Permission, first, to let go of past failures, and second is to give permission to let go of past successes. Yeah, failures and successes. Because what got you here ain't going to get you anywhere. When you work with and lead others, one of the biggest hurdles to get past is your history together. You see, you are predictable as a teacher, principal, attorney, parent, doctor, whatever, and the people within your world know you very well. They are mindful of your language, your attitude, your nonverbals, and your expectations. As a result, taking risks and breaking old habits in order to be better can create a problem. As a leader, you need to clearly state that we all have permission to let go of the past. You need to say we have permission to move on from our errors, and we also have permission to not be held to the standard that we just accomplished. Those are some burdensome issues if you do not grant permission to have organizational amnesia. Now, we learned from, grew from, and increased our skills as a result of all of those past experiences, but if you want people to be their best in the moment and willing to take risks, they cannot carry the burden of the past failures or successes with them. They need to be in the moment. It's a move on to be mindful of the moment attitude, and I'm going to tell you what, it's very freeing. Symbols, permission, and now the last one, pause. You're the leader, and you need to create pause on the journey. As we go day to day in the next few weeks with so little predictability, it will be critical for you to create pause. I mean, think about this. We're asking people to go back to school, parents to drop their kids off in environments that they don't know if they're safe or not, parents to drop their kids off in childcare settings where there might be an aide there to help their kids with their online schooling, parents to stay home with their kids to do online schooling, teachers to go into environments that they've never been in before, principals, administrators, everyone in a moment where they have no way of predicting what's going on. So what do you need to do? You need to make sure that you pause at the end of each one of those days and ask what went well and what do we need to change or challenge tomorrow. You're the leader and you need to create pause on the journey. That's it. You're the leader. So as we go day to day in the next few weeks with so little predictability, you need to create pause. Think about quarantine. That time flew. Do you know why? Most of the time we were moving, quickly, engaged or disengaged, sometimes lazily through the days, and many times just wanting to get through it. It was like a bad book that your eyes just breeze over and you think it's over with, but you don't recall much. Life needs to be worth it. As you institute policy, take risks, try new things, you need to be intentional about what is going on. Provide opportunities to stop and celebrate, and stop and collectively grab the failures, the opportunities for improvement, and the successes. You need to stop and look around and say, look what we've done. It is the leader's responsibility to instill in others a gratitude of the steps taken, to remind people they matter, and to show them, through their own reflections, how lucky we are every day to be given the opportunity to drive hard into the storms we face. I mean, what better memory than to take on a challenge collectively with others and have a small acorn on a shelf to recall the day, to hear that we have permission to go forward in a new or different way, and then be asked to stop and look around at what we've done and what we've done together, as well as what we have. That will ensure you are in the moment. So let's do some smart thinking. List symbols you can provide to support mindfulness. Describe permissions you need to give so that people can move forward. And last, describe your process so that you can design time for pause. That's it. That's the Smart Thinking Podcast. As always, thank you for listening, and please make sure to share this on your social media platform, tag me, and rate this episode. Also, thank you to the Well Pennies and their Golden Bear Studios for the great music. At the end of this episode, we're going to take a listen to someone who created a moment for me when I found myself singing along with him. His name is Andrew Hoyt, and it's his cover of Whitney Houston's, well, just wait, you'll hear it. Last, too often, we walk through our day with a somber desire to just get it over with. We get in the car in the morning and wish it was the ride home instead of the ride to work. We hope that we will not face challenges. We come home and say things like, that was the worst day. While sometimes that may be true, there is beauty in every moment, tragic or celebratory. But only if you look for it, only if you think about it, only if you recognize it, and only if you want to. The key to being a leader is a desire to want to be there, to want to serve, to want to reflect, to want to create the conditions that make memories, and to be present for others. No 85-year-old person on a rocking chair staring at the setting sun on their porch ever said, "You know, I wish I would have spent more time watching TV, looking at that Facebook of mine, complaining to my colleagues, being miserable." No. When you're 85 on the porch, you're going to want to recall some epic things. So what will your legacy be? Will you be remembered for glossing over the words on the page, or will you be remembered for being in the moment, making a difference, and relishing the opportunities that are thrown your way? I know what I want, and I know what I want to be thinking about on that porch. Time with people I care about, making a difference, watching others rise to the occasion, being in as many moments as possible, and sharing all of the wisdom I have gained and acquired over the decades from charging into every storm that came my way with many of you. And I hope when you're sitting on that porch that you have the same.
Clock strikes upon the hour and the sun begins to fade. Still enough time to figure out how to chase my blues away. I've done alright up till now. It's the light of day that shows me how. And when the light falls, my loneliness falls. Oh, I wanna dance with somebody. I wanna feel the heat with somebody. Spinning through the town. Yeah, sooner or later, fever ends, and I wind up feeling out. Yeah, I need a girl who take a chance on a love that burns hot enough to last. And when the light falls, my lonely heart calls. Somebody, yeah, I wanna dance with somebody, with somebody who loves me. Oh, I wanna dance with somebody. I wanna feel the heat with somebody. Thank you. I wanna dance with somebody.